If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Hoop Dreams, the podcast, an Unlearning Network production.
We got this thing we want to do with you. We call it halftime. And AJ and I want to hit you with some quick hitters. And then we're going to finish up this interview. But AJ, go ahead and hit him with the first one.
All right. Your three toughest college stadiums you played in.
Three toughest college stadiums. Okay. Rupp Arena.
Okay.
Missouri Coliseum, because they had this crowd called the Antlers. They were pretty rough.
Brutal.
And then I'm gonna say Baton Rouge at LSU, because every time I caught the ball, they would call me a traitor.
Damn, hit a wheel.
Give me the three toughest players you had to guard in college.
Three toughest players. Oh, that's easy. Penny Hardaway, Jamal Mashburn. Mm. And then I'm gonna probably say the other one would be. Man, this is a tough one. This third one, I'm gonna say Khalil Reeves.
Okay, I take that.
Give me your three toughest guys you had to guard throughout your pro career.
Toughest three guys. Ooh, man, if y'all knew the names. Okay, so one, I'm not gonna necessarily, I guarded him, but I had to switch on him a couple times when it was, you know, big to wing screen roles.
You guarded him.
Roy Tarpley.
Ooh.
Man, he was a problem.
From Iowa?
Yeah, Roy Tarpley. Yes. Roy Tarpley. I'm gonna throw this name at you. Mitchell Wiggins.
Oh, I forgot about Mitch. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Talking about his son, Andrew, but Mitchell was a bad boy.
Yes.
And then the last one is probably going to be a name from the past, Sadale Threet.
Mr. Yeah. Stop and Go.
Yeah, man.
Mr. Stop and Go.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Yeah. Listen, hey, let me tell y'all something, man, about Sadale Threet. People don't give him enough credit, but he was a mid-range killer.
Oh, man. And his hezzy game.
Enough credit.
His hezzy game was off the chain.
Yeah.
Boy, I tell you. Hey, give me... this might be an easy one for you or a tough one for you. Sneakers you was rocking back in the day that you would rock right now.
Ooh, sneakers I would rock back. Let's see. So I like, it's the only time I really wear them. I used to like the low cut seal top Adidas, but I had some high top seal toe Adidas. Man, I bring them back. And then there was a pair of, I want to think, say they were Pippins, I think. The black joints that had the air on the side. It was like scripted in white. I don't know what model sneaker it was, but I would bring those.
The up-tempos?
Yes.
Up-tempos?
Yeah.
Hey, now you done played all over the world, man. What were your favorite cities you played in?
Oh, man. Athens, Greece, by far. Athens, Greece. I'm going to tell you another spot that people wouldn't think about. Beirut, Lebanon.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Beirut, Lebanon. Insane.
I know, right?
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Never gonna hear that one.
Yes, sir.
This is going to throw you off, man. Give AJ and I, man, two hobbies that nobody would ever guess that you like doing.
Oh, no, that's funny. Two hobbies. Grilling. That's one. And buying and refurbishing real estate property.
Mm. Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I wouldn't take you as Mr. Handy Flip House Scotty.
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you. When I got back in the game in 01, like I would come back from playing ball overseas, and so That's when I first learned the word supplement your income. So I would come home and my goal was to say, okay, I made this playing basketball, but I don't want to touch that. I'm going to do this. So for the summers, I would go out. I had a buddy that was a real estate agent, man, and I would buy houses, little houses, fix them up, flip them, you know, buy another one, flip them, might rent them, just depending. So I just got into that, man. And some of the work when I was in 01, I would do some of it. I sand the floors, I paint. But, you know, the more and more you do and the older you get, you know, you start having people that do it and you just get out of the way. So now I get out of the way and just hire somebody, come go ahead and knock it out.
That's crazy. What's in your playlist, dog? What you rocking?
Yeah, I need to know this.
What you rocking? What you rocking in that Benz out?
Man, I ain't in the Benzo no more.
Oh, that's right. You got a Benz truck.
Nah. I'm just in the GMC Sierra, man. Yeah, keeping it real basic.
Look, he brought it down. He brought it down, yeah, Will.
Let's see. I'm still real old school with the music, man. Like, don't get me wrong. I like some of these young dudes, but the dudes I'm listening to in my playlist is Scarface. Bun B,
UGK,
A-Ball and MJG, A-Ball and MJG, my new young bull, Big Crit, and then I still bump, you know, R.I.P. Nipsey, I bump Nipsey, and it's a bunch of other rappers that I'll list, Rick Ross, you know, it's a bunch of dudes I'll list. I'm going to tell you who I like, one of y'all homeboys who don't get enough credit. I mess with Big Sean, man. Big Sean be putting it down.
Oh, Big Sean?
Really?
Big Sean, yeah. Cool.
Okay.
He cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You hit him with the last one, Will.
Well, actually, man, I wanna, because I know we at your time. So we wanna do this, man. I got one final question for you. Then AG gonna hit you with the final question.
Okay.
My last question for you, man, I just gotta throw this at you because this is out here. It's been the topic and things have been going on about this. But give me your take on the LSU-Iowa game from the perspective of what happened in the end with Renee and Caitlin, and your thoughts on it.
You're talking about when Angel Reese was hitting her with this and that. Yeah,
can't see me.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I like the fact, like, when she was at the free throw line and she did it, I was cool with that. Even when the horn rang and buzzed and she was going this way, you know, I liked it. But when she started to walk after, you know, that I didn't really like that. I don't know how I don't really know what my feeling is for real. I just don't think she should have done that. However, once the young lady that she did it to let her off the hook and said, I don't have a problem with it, then to me, it should all be over with. You know, I feel like those are the two that were competing. Those are the two that were involved in the situation. Obviously, they got their teammates and coaches, but to me, if they're good with it, I'm good with it. And I think there probably would have been some background stuff that we didn't know about when they were competing as youngsters, because they said they competed against each other for a long time. So I think that could have already been going on. But I don't think it was, it went the right way. Had that been two guys, you know how that probably would have wound up possibly being a fight or something. So I'm glad it didn't go that way. But now I'm going to say this. I didn't like the act, but the girl that did it, she a dog. And so you can't expect to have a dog that's a killer and then all of a sudden want him to be a poodle.
Yeah.
You just can't expect that.
I think she's done a good job
of handling it, though.
Yeah, that was my take on it. I agree with you on that. I said, you know, we're telling these kids, listen, you got to be killers. You got to be dogs. But yet we want them to play with this level of
sportsmanship. Hey, have a great game.
Yeah, and I think that's challenging. But I also would add this too, because I agree with everything you said. I also would add this to it, that I thought that that she didn't deserve the names that she was called.
Oh, yeah. No way she deserved it.
We're talking about high-level, you know, sportscasters, you know, calling her the B-word. Yeah, talking about, you know, she's ignorant. And I'm just like, come on, man, this is a college athlete. These are
right. Right. And a young lady.
You are grown. You know? Yeah, young lady. And you're an adult. And your mindset is to, you can disagree with what you thought she did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But to disrespect her in that way, I just thought some of our you know, sports announcers and sportscasters, that was just clearly just, man, over the...
Everybody loves McDonald's fries. So yes, you accused your mom of stealing some of your fries on the way home. But the bag did feel a little light. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Hey, and how we look at it is probably totally different, but I'm kind of like you said, I'm with you, Scotty. I'm glad the way she handled it. I hope this just didn't cost her no potential NIL deals. You know what I'm saying?
Man, it doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's increased it because, I mean, she started gaining, you know, more exposure. It's kind of like Jerry Jones says with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Cowboys fan. We ain't won nothing in a while, but he's always saying bad publicity is good publicity, you know, and so I don't, you know, think that she meant for it to come off the way that she did. I think she just got caught up in the moment, man, and being very competitive and, you know, just finally had a chance to exhale. That was her exhale moment. But I'm also with you, Gates. Yeah. Half these dudes going at a young lady, man, that's crazy calling out a name. Like, you can disagree with what somebody does. It doesn't have to get personal, though.
Speaking of that, man, we want to jump into that NCAA run, man. I mean, first of all, that 92-93 team, couple of questions, man. One, did y'all know y'all was going to be that good? Like, when y'all
were in
practice, did y'all say, you know what? Man, we got something here. Especially when Corliss wasn't even, you know, right. He was injured.
Right. So that 92-93 season was different because, one, like you said, Corliss was injured. And two, we were all still fairly new, with the exception of the guys who had redshirted that were there playing behind Todd, Dave, Oliver Miller, and that group. And so when we came in there, the best thing I think we ever did was when I decided to go there early, even though I was late for summer school, I was still able to be there working out with the guys because we got together every day and we played. That's what we did. We played every day at a certain time. Didn't matter if it was basketball camp, we were going to hoop. Mm. And so a lot of times Todd Day, who had just been drafted, he would come back. Lee Mayberry would come back. Oliver Miller would come back. Isaiah Morris, who was a second-round draft pick off that team, he would come back. So we got a chance to hoop against pros every day without having to travel out of state or do anything for it. We just got great run every day.
Wow.
And so there was just one day where they had, and I think Corliss had just came back because he had hurt his foot two times. He hurt it in the summer and he hurt it in the fall, but he just came back. So he played with us that particular day. And it was myself, him, really that starting lineup group, Glenn McDaniel, Dwight Stewart, myself, and Corliss playing against Lee Mayberry, Todd Day, Isaiah Morris. And that first day, man, they kicked our butts. Mm. I mean, they kicked our butts for every game that we played them. They kicked our butts. Well, the next day we come back, and we were like, we're going same teams. And they were laughing like, same team? Like, man, we just kicked y'all butt yesterday. So we like, we're going same squad. And we went same squad, and man, we let them have it all day. And after that, we're going to hang out, and we're talking. We're like, man, we got a chance to be pretty good. We're going to be able to beat some people. So fast forward, we get to the year, had a decent season, made the Sweet 16. We lose to North Carolina, who won it that year. That was Derek Phelps, Brian Reese, who else they had, Big Lynch. George Lynch.
Yep, George Lynch.
Killed us on the glass. We come box him out. So we get back. Yep. We go straight to Coach Risson. We're like, Coach, we just need two big guys. Same squad. Give us two big guys. We're going to win tonight. And he was like, y'all really think so? He was like, yeah. He went out and signed Big Darnell Robbins, who was McDonald's All-American, 6'11". Went out and signed Lee Wilson, another McDonald's All-American. And we never looked back.
That squad there, man.
Man, what was y'all practices like? Did Nolan Richardson, like, we finna make these motherfuckers cough the ball up almost every trip. We pressing the whole game, man to man. I don't want no airspace. That's how y'all play, bro. What the hell was y'all practices was like?
Well, you know, that's what's funny. You know, everybody think that the 40 minutes of hell moniker came from the games, but it really came from the practices. And so our first 40 minutes of practice, you know, we would warm up, Because coach's biggest deal is when he walk in the gym, he's not warming you up. He don't have time for you to be stretching. Yeah, you better be ready to go. You whatever sweat you needed to get prior to, you better already got it. Because when he come in there, he blowing the whistle, and it's on. And so we would run a lot of laps, do a lot of defensive slides, a lot of water ball stuff, a lot of three-man weave, three-on-two, two-on-one break, and you look up, and it's 40 minutes gone, and you're like, now we're getting ready to start practice. And so we practiced like that every day, even though the practice, even though they weren't long, they felt long. So when we got to the game, we always felt like, man, all the stuff we've been going through, man, these dudes got to pay for that. Like, we can't be doing all this running and conditioning and sliding, and they don't see any of it. So we just try to take our practice to the game, and that's fortunate for us. That's what worked.
Dude, y'all was like the baby Loyola Marymount team. Like, y'all had to be the best conditioned basketball team because y'all never stopped running, bro. Like, y'all pressed. We running on offense. We may pass it around a couple of times, but our offense was predicated off our defense.
Right. Well, the one thing that was different for us, and this is what I learned about college, is, you know, in high school, you get to play the whole game, no matter if you're playing good or you're bad, because the coach needs you to win the game. Well,
right.
Coach Risson had this deal where he wanted you to go out there and compete hard for 3 or 4 minutes and then be willing to raise your hand and get a sub. And once I figured out the nuances of, instead of me trying to play, I'm going to play 28 minutes, but instead of me trying to play 14 straight,
right,
I'm playing 3 or 4 hard and getting a blow and let my other teammate go out there fresh, because most of the time the other team is leaving their guy out there who's tired because they may not be as deep as us. And so over time, you look up, you're playing against a tired guy. Now you just blowing by him because he's stuck in the mud because he's had to play, you know, 38 minutes and most of them straight versus, you know, us getting blows.
Right. Wow.
You know, I wanted to ask you about this, man. You had Coach Richardson, and
damn,
particularly back in that time, there. I mean, it was like John Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Coach Richardson. You know, we didn't see a lot of African-American coaches, man. What was it like playing for Coach Richardson?
Man, it was good, but it was tough, you know, because Coach didn't really have a filter, and Coach didn't really have a quote unquote chain of command in terms of how he distributed, you know, butt chewings. You know, he didn't really care if it was Corliss or myself or Corey or Dwight. It didn't matter. He didn't care if you were a walk-on or a dude who was barely playing or a dude playing 30 minutes a game. If he had something he was going to say, he was going to give it to you how he wanted to give it to you. You just had to be man enough to take it. It
wow.
wasn't going to be said politically correct. He wasn't going to care about your feelings. Now, you could go talk to him after practice if you had a problem with it, which most of us were afraid to do. But during practice and, man, hey, man, You heard what he said, like, let's go, baby, let's get to work, you know. And so it was tough, and it was demanding, and it was challenging.
Hey, Scotty, let's talk about that run to the finals, man. I mean, when I look at the teams y'all beat to get there,
ugh,
Georgetown, Tulsa, Michigan. I mean, y'all beat the 5-5.
Yeah.
Arizona, Duke with a Grant Hill making his come out party.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean the names y'all beat: Jalen Rose, Jimmy King, Juwan, Damon Stoudemire, Khalil Reeves, Grant Hill. Yeah. I mean, walk us through the tournament, man. That's insane.
Well, man, it was really crazy because, see, we had felt like we were disrespected all year. And so, you know, everybody was saying, you know, we weren't number one, even though we were number one for the most weeks, I think, at that time in, like, history for number one seed, for overall number one seed. But we really just never felt like we got the respect we deserved. So for us, when you get a chance to play a team like Georgetown, you know, how else can you, you know, obtain your respect when you're playing against a nationally recognized program like that? So for us, we wanted to go out there and put our best foot forward. I actually was ejected from that game.
Mm.
I didn't even get a chance to finish that game. Clint McDaniel and Robert Churchwell got into it at half court. And my reaction was to just step on the floor. I didn't run on the floor, but I took a step on the court. So I took a step and our trainer pushed me back. But the referee was standing right there.
Oh, so yeah, that's right. I remember that now.
Right, because you couldn't you couldn't be on the court. So I got ejected.
Yep, you just made a gesture like you was going to come on the court.
Yeah.
And they was like, oh, no, he didn't really rush. Like, is they going to eject him for that?
Yeah.
That was big news.
Yeah. So I wound up watching the game in the locker room. And that was like early in the game. That was like, you know, early first half. And but the guys on Georgetown had like six guys run almost to half court, and I think they only ejected like one guy. Not even the two guys who fought got to stay in the game, Clint McDaniel and Robert Churchwell. So we win that game. The next game.
Who needs an alarm in the morning when McDonald's has sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles and a breakfast cutoff? Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Was against Tulsa, and that was a big time game for us because Coach Risson actually attended Tulsa and had coached there. And our assistant coach, Mike Anderson, played point for him at Tulsa. So that was a big game, and we battled them already in the regular season. And so that was a high scoring game. They could really shoot the basketball, but we got through that. Then we got to Dallas, and then that's when my man Bill Clinton showed up. And so now we had, you know, those guys at Tulsa, then we had Michigan. So that was a big deal. Playing the 5-4, playing Juwan Howard, playing against Jalen Rose. No, that was a big deal for us, but we were able to overcome that game. And then when we get to the Final Four, and we had Arizona up first with Damon Stoudemire and Khalid Reeves. I'll never forget Damon Stoudemire, who was my roommate that summer before and for the Goodwill Games team. He sees me and he says, man, how y'all boys be running so much, man? How y'all run so much? And we like, man, we in shape. You know, and they're at the free throw line, man, and he got his hands on his knees. He's tired. And we wound up, I'm looking at my man, Corey Beck, across the free throw line. I'm like, Corey, these dudes tired, man. I'm like, it's 3 minutes in the game. I'm like, man, we need to get rid of them. And fortunately for us, we were able to do that. And then when we got a chance to go against Duke, the first night, we didn't get that chance to have our shoot around. And so they gave us the wrong time for shoot around. So we get there, it's like a few seconds on the clock for shoot around. We're like, what's going on? So that played into our quote unquote being disrespected mindset, not feeling like, you know, we were the team to be. So I think that's really what gave us the, you know, the courage and also the mindset that we're going to go out there and get it done. And then, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah. Hey, was that pass drawn up like that for it to come to you in the corner? Or he just got the ball and just they was doubling all game and he just threw it out to you and saw you wide open.
Well, actually, what happened was we came out of the timeout and we were trying to go inside the court. We were just going to go 4-out, 1-in and just throw it into him, knowing if they're going to try to go double and then we're going to either put them in a situation where they got to scramble or we're going to drive and kick and get something. Well, Corey couldn't get it into him because they were doubling like off of him as the ball handler, really kind of daring him to shoot, playing in the middle. But, you know, it's kind of hard when you're picking the ball up, you know, you're not thinking somebody's going to back up off of you like that. So he threw it out to the top to Dwight Stewart. And I thought Dwight was going to shoot it. Well, when I thought Dwight was going to shoot it, I flashed down to the block thinking I may be able to go get a rebound.
Mm.
Well, I saw him bobble it, and Antonio Lane was standing in front of me, not knowing where I was because I was behind him. And so he was looking at the ball as it's being bobbled. And then I just ran out to the wing like, man, I'm going to go ahead and get it in case he swing it. I never thought I was going to get it, though. And so he swung it to me. But I had already peeped up at the clock like, man, if I do get it, it's going to be 3 seconds maybe. And when I popped out and caught it, it was like 2. So I had no choice but to let it go. But Lane had to jump from so far out. It's crazy. Right. If you look at the Sports Illustrated picture, it looks like he was on top of the ball, but there's another picture from the other end that someone from CBS sent me that I actually have a mirror of in my house that shows that here's his hand, here's the ball. So he was never really on top of it like that. It just looked like that. He was actually on his way down as I was shooting it up because he had jumped from so far.
Hey, because when you caught it in your pocket shooting position. Like you was like Craig Hodges in that bitch, like ready to, it came right to your hands and you was already, cause you bent down with knees, your knees was bent.
Oh yeah, I'm a triple threat guy.
Yeah, you was able to come all the way through your shot and put a rainbow on their ass.
Right, right. Well, yeah, I'm a fundamental dude, man. I've always been taught you catch that thing in triple threat and you figure it out from there. So for me, every time I catch it, even now my players throw it to me, they laugh because I'm already down ready to roll just in case you run up on me.
Look how humble this guy is, man. This guy got one of the biggest shots in national championship history, man. Not even thinking that, telling us the story. I'm not thinking I was going to shoot the ball, but to have the will and the confidence when you in that position, just to be able to make that, that's some tough shit.
But AJ, you know what I attributed to, though? All the years where my brother, who was 6'8", wouldn't let me get a shot off. And you know, when you're young and you're getting it blocked every time you attempt one, it's real easy when you finally see daylight to be like, I got to knock this one down, baby, because I might not get it again.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, man, y'all go back the following year.
Yeah.
And again, I just got to roll these names off too, man. I mean, y'all beat Syracuse, Memphis, Virginia. Now you got Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace, y'all, you know, UCLA, Tyus Etney, the Obana brothers, J.R. Henderson. I mean, literally, like the NBA was being formed.
Right.
You know, I always try to tell people, man, between like that 92 to about 96, the NBA got some of its best talent it has had in a very long time.
Yeah.
But y'all are right there. Take us to that championship game, man, with UCLA, man. What happened there?
Well, man, I think it was a combination of things. I think, number one, you know, we enjoyed the fruits of our labor for a full 12 months, if you know what I mean. You know,
yes.
We were very, very, you go from being a team that's doing the hunting to being the hunted. You know, I don't know if we were prepared for what that really looked like. You know, you always hear coaches say you're going to get their best shot, but nobody knows what that means until you get to the game, you know. But then when you start seeing every team you play, even a team that's not even highly rated, battling you every night, you're like, dang. So, you know, we had some bouts against a lot of teams that kind of, there was some red flags, like, man, we got to get better in certain areas all year, but we managed to escape almost every time, you know. But we went 32-7 that season, but that particular game, you know, we had a game plan. And then when Tyus Edney went out of the game because he hurt his hand, we felt, because we weren't pressing. We were sitting back in a matchup zone, like a 2-3 matchup. And so Coach saw Edney go out and he was like, we need to press these boys. But I don't know if we had really paid attention to, you know, the Toby Bailey kid.
Cameron, he grew up there. He came to play that game.
Yeah. And so those guys playing in transition were probably a lot better than they would have been looking back on it if we would have stayed in the half court set. Plus, when you bear the fruits of your labor so much, eventually it finally catches up to you, you know? So I really don't think we were as hungry. I also think that we still accomplished something great getting there.
Again,
but I really feel like if we would have sacrificed just a little bit more when you're young, you don't know that, but we sacrificed a little bit more off the floor, I think we would have been in a lot better situation.
Hey, Will. You know what comes with when he say fruits of our labor, you know, they getting treated like kings and royalty all throughout the Southeast. You know what I'm saying, Will? You know, them boys start smelling themselves. You like, right. Yo, first we was trying to make ourselves known, like we ain't getting no respect. Now you got the respect and the world is, your oyster is giving you everything and you not gonna work as hard because y'all just walking, the new Fab Five are getting treated like.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was greater than that. If you think about it, AG, I mean, they just did something that has never been done at the university. I mean, and you're talking about the teams that went before them. You're talking about Todd Day, Oliver Miller, Lee Mayberry, which, by the way, man, I remember Lee Mayberry and Todd Day because they both got drafted by the Bucks.
Yeah.
So they used to be at our gym playing and practicing all the time too. But I'm saying, I think that pressure, and I'm agreeing with you, Scotty, I think that pressure, that hunger was that y'all had to be better than that squad. Cause that squad was Those dudes right. were something else.
Yeah.
But then right. to win that champ, because it had to be championship or bust for you guys.
Wasn't Cameron you know, Dollar on that team?
Couldn't duplicate.
Cameron
yeah,
Dollar.
Remember, he wanted Will? To be a head. Yeah, he was a. Yeah, he got the head coach's job yeah. as soon as he graduated at Denver.
Yeah. Wow. Now, Scotty, you in a you in the town where Scottie Pippen went to school at? You Conway, Arkansas?
No.
No.
Okay. And it's down the street, about 30 minutes away. Yeah, it's about 30 okay. minutes away. I'm in the town where one of y'all hometown guys is actually coaching the University of Arkansas Little Rock, Darryl Walker.
Oh yeah, our That's Shottown right. brother. Yeah, he took over that gig, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm right down the street from him. Probably about 10 minutes from him. Not even that. No, just right down the street.
Man, you thinking about sliding a couple of your players that way?
Hey, I told him, come to the gym, man. All you got to do is come to the gym. I got one right now. He need to be all over, but I can't get him to come to my gym.
Hey, what's poppin', guys? It's JG here from Blowing Smoke. If you're a fan of fun, insightful, and breakthrough conversations, then be sure to check out and subscribe to the Blowing Smoke podcast, a show that covers life experiences and firsthand testimonies from some of the biggest names in your favorite industries. And all that brought to you exclusively by the Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip-hop, powered by creators.
Hey, man, Will, make that phone call, man. Get on DA, get on DWS, man.
I am going to make that phone call because he should be coming just out of respect because Scottie Thurman asked him to come. That's just brotherhood love.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what that's about. But I am going to make that call.
Tell him stop big timing me, man.
You know?
Yeah, I'm making that call, man. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy, man. Well, Scotty, man, we done had you, man, for an hour. Want to thank you. My man, AG, is going to hit you with this final question. Hit him, AG.
Your career was an inspiration to me down the street in Arkansas, man. So I just want to let you know that this means the world to me that you was able to carve out some time for me and my brother, man, to come on our show and bless us with your presence and your expertise and your whole life story and what you went through and what your hoop dream is about. But what's in the next chapter of Scotty Thurman's hoop dream?
Oh, man. Well, first off, before I answer that question, I'm going to say I really appreciate you guys, you know, and what you're doing. I hate I couldn't catch up with you last week. We had a little bit of an issue. We got through with one of my young men, but I really appreciate y'all being patient and for Matt staying, you know, steadfast and making sure that we reconnected.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as my hoop dream, man, you know, my whole legacy is trying to help and build young men. You know, and trying to put them in the best situation to thrive and not just do basketball. You know, basketball is the ministry, but it ain't the only mission. You know, we're trying to make sure that we build young people to go out and be successful. So one of the things my wife and I are actually trying to do as we speak is we're looking at trying to, you know, build an after-school program that's going to house a lot of different facets, you know, with one being after-school, tutoring, character, career development, ACT prep, meals, because our kids aren't eating, man. They're not eating breakfast. They're not eating lunch. But here we are expecting all these things out of the mental health piece. You know, I've got a hospital here that's wanting to partner up with us. I won't mention their name because it's still kind of in discussions, but they want to partner up and try to help us, you know, detail some of this mental health stuff that some of these young people are dealing with and not being able to express themselves, not feeling comfortable expressing themselves. And so, man, my whole goal is really being able to use basketball to hopefully change some lives. And that doesn't all mean kids going D1. That doesn't always mean Coach Thurman, you know, winning every game or my team winning every game. I'm trying to win lives, you know, and trying to give these guys a chance to be able to go out and be successful.
Now, if there's any people out there that's, you know, wanna help you and your wife organization, what's the name of it? How can they get in touch with you? Where can they get in touch with you?
Well, the name of it is Fit You. So it's a fitness university, you know, mentally fit, physically fit, socially fit. If they want to reach me, they can call me at 501-838-2506. Email is Sabian, S is in Sam, A is in Apple, B is in Boy, IEN_hotmail.com. Or you can hit me up at Rustin Rifle on Twitter.
That is right there. And you left out one thing. Where that Cash App at? Because if people want to donate.
Well, right now, we don't have the Cash App set up,
yep.
But we will have it set up. But if they reach out to me on those other entities, we'll make sure that we can connect with them on that as well. Fellow on the fellow.
I'm the gold of my era. I've been a trending topic, I'm as fly as a feather. My pocket's macroscopic, see with time I get better. I'm always in the action, kid. No, I got it locked from Chicago where the toughest live. Concrete jungle, earn my stripes on the pavement there. You make it here, then you can make it anywhere. No comparison, your game is embarrassing. No one can touch me, I'm all for going there again. Yeah, I think I'm ballin' like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreamin', trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me. Yeah, I think I'm ballin' like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreamin', trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me.
Hoop Dreams the Podcast, an Unlearning Network production. Written and produced by Arthur Agee, Will Gates, Matt Hoffer, with audio engineering from Matt Savage. For more episodes, check us out at www.unlearningnetwork.com.
Gotta be a dog to survive in this cold weather. Ice in my veins, no need for a warm sweater. I'm coming for it all, best believe I won't let up. Yeah, hey, I think I'm balling like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreaming, trying to fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me. Yeah, I think I'm ballin' like I'm Will Gates. I'm hoop dreamin', tryna fight against a sealed fate. More faith, think I'm ballin' like I'm Arthur Agee. I'm box office, and one day they gon' have to pay me.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.